Even the stones is the title of today's message. Because stones tell stories. Do you ever think about that? We often gather up stones from a beach vacation. This one came from Ocean Grove, New Jersey, one of the many vacations I've taken there. Stones from the top of a mountain we've hiked, like if you saw my Facebook pictures, or Margot's from yesterday, we climbed Red Hill Mountain in the Catskills. This little piece of quartz was along our trail. Stones remind us of a time or of an experience or a feeling we've had. This one came from the shores of Owasco Lake when I was at Cass Owasco Camp for local pastor's licensing school. It was probably 16 years ago this spring as I was getting ready to become a church pastor. But even apart from their physical location, stones tell stories. Igneous rocks, like granite or basalt or pumice, attest to the volcanic heat that formed their molecules and the effects of underground pressure and the passing of millennia in shaping and hardening them. Sedimentary rocks and the fossils they sometimes contain reveal a timeline in their layers. And metamorphic rock demonstrates the power of pressure as the crystals transform over time from one substance to another, yielding sometimes jade. Sometimes soapstone or sandstone. Geodes look like ordinary rocks until you crack them open and you see the crystal treasures inside. The rocks we find by our gardens today were moved here millions of years ago by the glaciers that expanded during the Ice Age and then left behind as those same glaciers receded. And humanity has put rocks to work telling our stories. From ancient times, humans have used rocks to mark important places and events. Like Jacob, who raised up a stone like a pillar to remember his dream of a ladder to heaven. Or Joshua, who directed the leaders of the 12 tribes to raise a stone monument after crossing the Jordan River into the Promised Land. The oldest pyramids in Egypt were built around 2600 BC. On an island in the North Sea, standing stones at Brodgar were erected a century or two later, 500 years before Stonehenge. Obelisks from the kingdom of Assyria dating to 1,000 years before the birth of Christ stand today on display in the British Museum in London. The Great Wall of China was raised in 221 BC. And on and on. But we also use stones to mark individual lives. We call them gravestones. And they tell our stories. Family markers are often grouped together. Birth dates and death dates and names and, on modern markers, military service. Sometimes favorite flowers or pets or verses of poetry or scripture, even images and photos might be etched. And so in so many ways, stones tell our stories. And even beach glass, as we've been talking about throughout this season of Lent. Beach glass, which is considered a variety of gemstone today, tells the story of the bottle or the jar it once belonged to and its journey from broken and jagged to smoothed and valued. I see stones as storytellers. And yet our language often suggests that stones are silent. Which brings me to ask you today, which are you? Are you silent as a stone, or are you a storyteller? Palm Sunday marks Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. There was a great deal of storytelling that accompanied him. According to Luke's gospel, in the days leading up to this day, in his travels en route to Jerusalem, Jesus healed 10 lepers. He restored the sight of a blind man. He brought the hope of redemption and restoration to a sinful tax collector named Zacchaeus. And Jesus spoke in parables about the importance of prayer and of humility and of childlike faith and of wise management of our gifts. Even before he entered Jerusalem, his reputation had certainly spread by word of mouth. A mighty healer, a wise teacher, a different kind of rabbi, one whose actions matched his words and who spoke directly to the human condition, touching impoverished souls with his kindness and generosity. And so the people cheered, and they shouted, and they cut branches from the trees, and they threw down their cloaks, and they waved those palms, and they chanted psalms to hail Jesus. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. And that cacophony almost drowned out the naysayers and the doubters and the haters. Almost. Because those voices, those negative, doubt-filled, fearful voices will always strive to be heard, like they do today, in these days of coronavirus quarantine. And sometimes it can feel like the naysayers and the doubters and the fears are drowning out the proclamation of our faith, beating down the voices that seek to remind us that God loves us, that God is with us, and that Hosanna, God will save us. That's the testimony of our faith, the story we are to tell. Even in the midst of the world's noise and its fears, God loves us, and God will save us. Even against the voices of doubt, we tell the story, God will save us. Even against the voices of fear, we proclaim our faith, God will save us. God loves us, God is with us, God saves us. Do you have your palms in hand today or your scarves? Did you hang some greenery on your front door or in the front window? Or put it on your mailbox this morning? Wherever you are sitting this morning, I want you to join me in chorus and wave those palms and wave those scarves and wake the sleeping children upstairs and let the dogs bark. Do not be as silent as stones. Be the storytellers and proclaim the good news. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. God loves us. God is with us. God will save us. Say that with me. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. God loves us. God is with us. God will save us. One more time, as loud as you can. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. God loves us. God is with us. God will save us. Keep saying that over and over again. Say it because you believe it. Say it until you believe it. God loves us. God is with us. God saves us. Amen.